Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March round the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march round the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, make the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in."
Thank you, Grant. So we're going to think about this story, this passage, and as we do so, let me begin by praying. Loving God, this is your word, truth eternal, unchanged and unchanging. Help us now to receive it as your word, to believe it as your revelation, to understand it by your Spirit, and embrace it by faith. For we ask in Jesus' name for your glory and our good. Amen. Amen. Well, let me give you a couple of quick challenges at the beginning here. If you look on the screen, what can you see? What do you see in the next slide? What do you see? Do you see two faces? You see two people looking at each other? Or an ornament, a vase, yes. Anything else? I don't know, there's at least two, a candlestick or something in the middle, yes. Okay, have a look at the next picture. What do you see here? Right, so some people are saying a duck. So if you kind of look that direction, there's a duck with a bill. But if you turn this way, it's a rabbit. With the ears. Okay, so is it either a duck or a rabbit, depending on what you first saw? Okay, this next one is tricky, very tricky. What do you see here? A young lady looking that way. You see that, the young lady? Anyone see anything else? An older lady? Where's that? The old lady. This is tricky. So here is the nose and the mouth of the old lady looking down. Do you see that now? And if you look at that picture, can you try and see both? It's tricky, isn't it? But yes, okay. Enough of the pictures. The question is, what do you see? What do you see? Now, I apologize already to Ian wearing his England rugby shirt. I don't know if you've been watching the rugby. There's a Rugby World Cup going on in Japan at the moment, and I've been reminded of 4 years ago when the Rugby World Cup was here in England, and my favorite rugby story occurred. So England were playing Wales, and they were playing at Twickenham, and it was a very important game that England really needed to win, and it started pretty well. Wales were having an injury crisis. There were 5 of their best players couldn't even start the game. And it got into the second half, and 3 of, again, their really, really good players were injured. One at a time. 1, 2, 3. And as the third Welsh player was carried off the pitch on a stretcher, the Welsh captain got his players together and in a little huddle, and You might have thought, well, things are not looking good. They were losing the game. They were 10 points behind. There was only half an hour to go. And most of their best players have been injured and left the field. And what he said to his team in that little huddle was this. I'm not going to do the proper Welsh accent, but he said, "Boys, we've got them. Boys, we've got them." And you know what? They went on to win that game, 28-25, and sorry, England were knocked out of the World Cup and didn't go through to the next round. But that moment where, looking on, you might have thought things looked awful for Wales, and yet there was a man able to see differently. Instead of seeing defeat, he saw victory. Seeing differently. We're going to think about that this morning as we look at this story that Grant read for us from Joshua. Because Joshua, in this story, is helped to see differently, not once, but twice, if we look carefully as we go through this story. So we're going to look and ask, how does God change what Joshua sees? And how might we learn? What could we learn today for us, for our own lives, from Joshua's experience? Now, this encounter with God, it leads on from last week. I was just disturbed by this little baby here, and then I realized it's a doll, not a baby. but you're looking after it well, Rain. It's good. Not yours. No, okay. We looked last week at Moses and the burning bush, and you remember, if you were here, that Moses was sent by God back to Egypt, and he brought God's people out of Egypt from slavery into freedom. But they didn't quite make it as far as the promised land, because they got over the Red Sea and then they started going wrong and ended up wandering around the desert for 40 years. And it's not until we get to Joshua that the people of God finally cross the River Jordan and come into the promised land. And that's where we are as we meet Joshua here. They've just crossed over the River Jordan, and the first thing, the first obstacle that they meet in the promised land is this city of Jericho. And it's the first obstacle that they meet. So we're going to join the story with Joshua. Joshua is the leader, the commander of the armies of Israel. And he's a respected elder and a wonderful leader of the people. And they're getting ready for this battle that's going to come. And so what does Joshua see? If you look at chapter 5 and verse 13, it says this. When Joshua was near Jericho, this is page 219, but if you want to follow with me. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. What does Joshua see? Joshua sees a man with a drawn sword. In other words, this is a warrior, someone ready for battle. And mysteriously, somehow, this is God appearing, but Joshua doesn't realize that yet. And if you've been here over this series, you'll find that slightly familiar, because we've seen again and again whether Abraham, where three travelers appeared approaching his tent, or Jacob saw the wrestler in the stream, or last week Moses saw the burning bush, Joshua sees the warrior. None of them realize at first that it's God who is appearing to them. And isn't it amazing that how God appears in different ways, in slightly different forms and with different emphases to different people, depending on their needs and their situations. So Joshua doesn't realize who he's seeing. He approaches the man in verse 14, at the end of verse 13, and he says, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" You see, what Joshua sees is a potential threat. He sees a problem. He sees a problem when he looks up. Joshua is an impressive character. We read through the book, he's an impressive person. But here, he gets this very wrong. He gets it very wrong. And it's surprising because Joshua has met God before. Joshua, the chapter before, God has spoken to Joshua. We know that Joshua was with Moses in the tent in the time of wandering through the wilderness, those 40 years. Joshua has experience and has background. We might expect that if God was to appear to him, he might notice. We might think that, but he doesn't. Joshua is so preoccupied with his plans, with his preparation for the battle that's to come, that he does not see God when he appears to him. Are you for us or for our enemies? Joshua asks. And then we have God's word in verse 14. Do you see that? Are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. And that's the point that Joshua realizes who this is that he's speaking to, who it is that he's seeing. And Joshua falls face down in reverence before God. And God says, take off your sandals. The place you are standing is holy. And we heard that last week, didn't we, with Moses at the burning bush. Holy places are places where God meets his people in special ways. God is here and God is speaking. So Joshua at first sees a problem. He sees a threat. And as God speaks, Joshua realizes he's seeing God. Even as an experienced and mature believer, even as a faithful man of God, Joshua does not notice who this is. And I wonder if this is a challenge for us this morning here at Harborne Baptist Church as we sit and listen to these words. What do we see? What do we see? What do you see? And are there things that, like this warning triangle on the screen, appear to us as problems, appear to us as interruptions, appear to us even as potential threats? Maybe a text message that comes into our phone, or an email that arrives, or a person that we come across that seems to be somehow an interruption to what we were planning. And might it be that God is trying to speak to us through that interruption, or through that delay, or through that problem? I was saying to Mike just a little bit earlier on, quite honestly, this service this morning is not looking quite how we had planned, because a number of people have been unable to be here today for various reasons. But God, I think, often does speak to us and does communicate with us through the things that we hadn't planned to do and we hadn't planned to say. Are they interruptions? Are they God speaking to us and God meeting us? Joshua saw a warrior, and that was his context. He was about to go to battle. That was his situation. For us, things are different. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And today we have a privilege that Joshua did not know. We have the privilege of reading the words in this book that Jesus spoke, of reading about the actions that Jesus took. And friends, this morning it may be we just sang a song, My Jesus, My Savior. That to you may not mean anything, or may not mean very much at all. Maybe a confusing concept that Jesus could somehow be relevant to you personally. And if that is you, if you'd like to explore that, well, rather than see it an interruption to your way of life and your being, what if God was speaking to you this morning through being here and hearing us speaking today about Jesus? We'd be delighted to talk to you, to speak with you at the end, if that is you. Speak to me or one of the folks with the deacon's labels on afterwards. Could it be the reason we're here today is that God wants to meet with us? Not because of anything that we've done, but because he wants to reach out and meet us as he met with Joshua. But equally, you may be someone here today who has been in church most of your life. You may be like Joshua, an experienced follower of God, an experienced Christian. And perhaps you've met with God many times. But there's a reminder this morning that even for us who would say we are Christians and we know God, even for us, we can easily miss those moments where God wants to speak to us, perhaps in the interruptions of our life and our plans. So let's be ready today to see differently into this coming week. So Joshua sees a potential threat. What else does Joshua see? The second part of our reading today into chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 1. What does Joshua see? Just over the page in our church Bibles. Chapter 6 and verse 1 says this. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. What does Joshua see? Joshua sees Jericho. And when he looks at Jericho, he's near Jericho. I think he can probably literally see Jericho, maybe across the plain from where they were camping. And what does he see when he looks at Jericho? He sees a wall. He sees a city with a gate that is closed, and not just closed, but barred and locked and shut against him and God's people. And verse 1, no one went out and no one came in. What hope could the Israelites have of getting inside this city? They are, after all, they're nomads, they're tent dwellers, they wander the desert. They have no experience of dealing with this kind of challenge. This is utterly new and completely, they think, impossible. So Joshua sees an impossible task. He sees a locked door ahead of him. Overwhelmingly impossible. One that was blinding him to God's presence. And the fear and the worry and the anxiety of that are dragging him down. The gates of Jericho were securely barred. That is what Joshua sees. And then again, as in chapter 5, we have God's word speaking into that situation. Verse 2, this is what's really jumped out at me this past week, looking at this passage. Verse 2, where it says this, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands.'" See, you hear that? What is Joshua seeing? He's seeing the city. It's locked up. It's hopeless. And God says, "See differently. See differently. I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Not maybe, not possibly, not if you do this, this, and this. No, I have delivered. It is finished. I have delivered. See." What you're called to do, Joshua, is to see what is already real. You're looking at the city. You're seeing the impossible. But God is calling you to see what he has already done. God transforms Joshua's view through his word. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30 says this about the story. It says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. All the people were called to do was to go for a walk. Just walk around the city. And if you read through the instructions there, verses 3, 4, 5, they seem a bit odd, don't they, if we're honest? They don't make much sense in terms of military strategy. You wouldn't find that in a book of how to defeat a city. Walk around it a bit and then blow some trumpets. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. And faith is often like that, I think, in my experience anyway, that we don't always understand. We don't always understand all of the things that God has done and is doing. And actually, we don't get to choose how God does things. Who of us here this morning would have suggested to God that his son Jesus should be born in a stable, should grow up as a refugee, should live under the cloud of the Roman occupation, and as he's revealing his identity and showing others who he is, that he would be arrested, accused, convicted, crucified? Who of us would have suggested to God that would be a good way of saving the world? Who of us would have suggested? And yet 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And this is how God has chosen to save you and me, through Jesus. Faith is not always understandable. We don't have all the answers. But they were told, walk around the city for seven days. Once a day, and on the seventh day, do it 7 times. Faith means putting God at the center. And the ark, the symbol of God's presence, we've not got time to go into all the lies behind that, but the symbol of God being present as they marched around that city. As the people, they were called just to walk go for a walk. And that was that. So much emphasis here. This is God's work and not the people's. God's work and not ours. We prayed it this morning before the service. We do it every Sunday to pray, reminding ourselves, God's church and not ours. God's work and not ours. And friends, maybe another reason for this walking around the city that struck me this week. 7 days of walking around. What else was happening in those 7 days? Well, the people in Jericho were looking and seeing. And what were they seeing? What were they seeing as these people walked around the city? Were they being given the opportunity to join Rahab, who had already realized who God is, and to repent and say, yes, we recognize who God is, and we will turn to him? They were given that opportunity across those 7 days to do that. The people in Nineveh, when Jonah went there to preach, they repented and they were saved. I recognize that there's parts of this book, Joshua, that are difficult for us to read as New Testament believers, as Christians. Sometimes we might struggle to recognize our understanding of a loving God in some of the stories of judgment and of violence. And they're difficult questions there. We have home groups coming up this week. They're good places to wrestle with some of those questions. I'd be happy to sit with anybody afterwards and talk through some of those questions if you have them. But just for now, for this chapter, chapter 6 of Joshua, we notice that at the end of the chapter, if you look down, there's a lady called Rahab. And Rahab and her family are saved from the city of Jericho. And Rahab and her family stand, I think, as representatives to remind us that all people, no matter what background or ethnicity they come from, who put their faith in God, will be saved. And the possibility of redemption and salvation for all, including those outside of God's people in the Old Testament, is there. By faith, God says, see, I have delivered. Joshua sees this impossible task. God calls him to see differently. And by faith, to replace despair, looking upon that lock with hope that God is at work. And again, this is our challenge that we're going to wrap up in a moment with. To ask, what do we see? What do you see? What are the impossible tasks that are facing you today as you're sat here? What does Jericho mean for you? Maybe something new that you're starting or facing that just feels impossible right now. Maybe there's a change ahead or a move or a new start that's coming and you don't know how you're going to manage. Maybe some sin or habit that you've tried to deal with for years and just will not shift. Maybe you sense God is calling you to a new role, perhaps even here at church, and you're not sure that you can say yes. Maybe there's a family member, a friend that you have been praying for years, that they would find freedom and hope and new life in Jesus, and they've just been resistant, as though the door was locked, and you long for that to be open. And maybe as a church, last week we were here, we heard Eunice talking about the vision of having a youth group for young teenagers and kids here at our church. And it might feel as though there are barriers in the way to see that happening. And we long to see it happen. And that's our Jericho, the impossible task that seems to sit in front of us this morning. What are those impossible situations for you today? We're going to have a few moments of reflection in a little while where we have the opportunity just to bring those to God and to say to God, you know, I want to see differently. I want you to help me to see this situation differently because I believe that it's your work and your power that's going to open these doors. And the Bible doesn't promise that God will just magic our problems away. The struggle and endurance, they're part of the experience of life for us as Christians. We serve a God who died on a cross. But this is how Hebrews 11 concludes. It looks at these Old Testament heroes and heroines of faith, like those here in Joshua's time. And it commends their faith And in verse 39 of Hebrews 11, it says this: These Old Testament heroes were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. And that better thing that God had promised is Jesus, and the new life and freedom and forgiveness we have in him. And so chapter 12 of Hebrews goes on to say, therefore, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. What do we see this morning when we face a Jericho, a seemingly impossible task, when we face interruptions to our life and our schedule and our plans that we weren't expecting? Will we see God at work in those things, allowing us to encounter him and to be transformed? Not because of our own skill, but because of God's goodness to us. I want to, Daniel, could you help me to do this? Just hand these around. Everyone has one. Helter, can I ask you to help me too? So these guys are going to hand round, could you walk them up to the back too? Hand round a little piece of paper, which has two pictures on it. And these are the two pictures we've had on the screen this morning. On the one side, you'll see the warning triangle, the exclamation mark. And that was where we talked about Joshua seeing a potential threat. And then if you turn the card over to the back, you'll see that there is that image of the lock. And that is Joshua seeing the impossible task, the door locked shut. The city was closed. It was impossible as they looked. So what I want to invite you to do now, we don't do this particularly often here at this church, but we're gonna do it this morning, is that we're going to play a song, which will be on the screen behind me. If you want to see the words, they're on the screen, but feel free to close your eyes, to sit quietly. And what I'm going to invite you to do, as you hold that little piece of card in your hand, and listen to the words, if you want to listen to the words, is to pray that God would help you to see differently, help you to see differently these situations that you face, whether the exclamation mark, the unexpected interruption, or perhaps on the reverse, the lock, the situation that is just closed to you, that you do not know how you will deal with, asking God to help you to see differently. Has anybody not yet got a card? Thank you. Okay, thank you. Let's spend a few moments then. We're going to play this video and just invite you just to be quiet and perhaps to use the pictures as a visual prompt or just to close your eyes. And let me just pray, and then Brenda will start the video for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for Joshua. I thank you for the encounter that he experienced with you and what we can learn from that. Lord, I pray that you would help us now as we consider these things, as we listen to the words of this song, and as we reflect on these pictures and these words, that you'd help us, each one of us, to see differently, to see with your eyes these situations that we face. In Jesus' name, amen.